Good morning. It's 15th of July. Our New Testament reading today is Matthew chapter 16, which contains what is known as Peter's Confession. We talked about it to some extent yesterday. I'm reading once again from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "In his own time, Jesus faced the issue which had brought him into the land of mountains and waterspouts." Luke introduces the crisis in words which must be a precious paradox to all those who love the Lord and seek to follow him in the path of prayer. In a manner which seems to convey the sense of strain and the urgent need of waiting upon God, Luke records his sublime detachment. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, 'Whom say the people that I am?'" It was an inquiry which was only important because it led forward to the supreme question. They told him that some said he was John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others one of the old prophets. The people among whom he worked had had a great regard for him. There was no doubt that at one time most of them had regarded him as the promised Messiah. But the disciples' answer showed that this failure to fit the people's conception of what action the Messiah should take added to the steady opposition of the scribes and Pharisees, had changed their opinion of him. He had been relegated to the status of a prophet. "But," said Jesus, reaching the supreme crisis, "whom do ye say that I am?" Without hesitation, Peter cried out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was a moment of great exaltation for Jesus. In spite of all that had happened to discredit the claim of his Lord, Peter knew. "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus knew in that moment that his church was founded at the furthest possible point from the temple and ritual of Jerusalem, among the mountain torrents where pagan culture had made its shrine and the Roman fortress proclaimed the might of temporal power. This rejected leader, with his little group of exiles, established his church. Peter had justified his Lord's choice of his new name. His confession was the rock upon which the whole assembly of the called out ones would be built. Although it would be subjected to many assaults, the forces of wickedness and unbelief would not prevail against it. Jesus promised Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and told him that what he will bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what he shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This was a promise which Peter was later to share with the other apostles, but his inspired pronouncement gave him the right to be first. Thus we find that Peter made the great revelation of Christianity on the day of Pentecost to Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And although Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, it was Peter who was sent to open the kingdom of heaven to the first group of Gentiles. In a footnote, Brother Purkis adds this: "The binding and loosing was an idiom taken from current Jewish practice. It implied the prohibition and sanction by the scribes of actions as unlawful and lawful under the tradition of the elders. First Peter and then the other apostles were to have that prerogative, but they would not be arbitrators of the traditions of men, but of the law of God." There's a powerful exhortation for us in that footnote too. Thank you for listening.